want to build your faith? Do you desire to have a true encounter with God through His Word? Then listen to Logos Rhema Hour with Reverend Dr. Joseph Baobing, Head Pastor of Harvest Chapel International, Kumasi. He is a seasoned man of God and a teacher of the Word in its truth and simplicity. Make time with us each and every Monday to Friday at 2 p.m. on Spirit 88.3 FM as we encounter the Word of Truth. God richly bless you. And now, today's message.
Establishment through holiness. Amen.
Let's take our confession. Joshua 1 verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of my mouth, but I shall meditate in it day and night, that I may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then I will make my way prosperous, and then I will have good success. Amen.
So he said, I am writing to, God's chosen people who are living as foreigners in the provinces of Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Verse 2. God the Father knew you and chose you long ago. So Peter is standing and he's wondering, how did Jesus come? He says that they saw some fishermen, they had fished there, and there were two boats. There were two boats when Jesus needed them. How come that he came to my boat? And said, boy, can you borrow me your boat? Let me do some preaching exercise, and afterwards, we'll see. And he'll be wondering, how come, God, did I even yield and obey? And said, man, you can use my boat. I'm so just tired and just thinking through, wondering how I'm going to go home to the missus, because Peter was a married man. And today he said no fish was caught. And then the Bible says that he gave it to Jesus, and Jesus came to stand in. I don't know, maybe he sat. It's not very clear. But he preached. Hallelujah. Amen. And after the preaching exercise, he said, I want to reward you for being kind to me. I want to give you some fish. And he said, Master, I'm an experienced fisherman. I have caught the whole night. We caught nothing. Jesus said, launch out into it. Cast your net. Just do it. Hallelujah. And Peter was looking into the eyes. Like I always say, I believe he was reading through Jesus' eyes, and Jesus was just whispering it. I believe that Peter heard him clear, loud and clear. I own the fishes, man, sitting in the seas are mine. Nalama satakabaya. Rale is mine. Halemo sataya. I can command these fishes to enter into your nets. Just obey. Obedience. He said, At your word. Now the born again experience, when you do, you know that you are owned by God. You will know. He will bring you that knowledge, that information. That I'm not here on my own. Go to the hospital. The fresh air you and I stand here breathing. Some of them, they have to bottle it in a canister and put it in their noses. Hallelujah. Amen. And as they lie there, oh my God, my last, like I always tell you, I worked in a unit where I saw death every day. Sometimes you can see the fear in their eyes. Doctor, can you just do something? I don't want to die. I'm not prepared to die. Can you help? And there are occasions where you can't do anything. And you just want to turn away. You wish you can help. It doesn't lie in your hands. You know, you don't have it. As a doctor, you know you don't have it in your power to bestow life. As every patient who comes to the hospital will not die. No doctor likes it for his patient to die. Sometimes you just wish you can do something heroic for them. And you look at them and you know the master. They are mine! All souls are mine! I determine when they can roam here on my earth. And when they have to come home and face me. Hallelujah. Amen. So Peter, Male Mosai, obeyed. And that's the secret, obedience. I listen to you preaching. I know that this is an extraordinary man. At your word, I'm going to cast my net. When the shoal of fish that they caught came and it dawned on him that this is a miraculous catch. This man. Jesus said, come, follow me. And despite himself, he abandoned it. Can you imagine Peter going home to go and meet Mrs. What was Peter saying? Simon Peter. Amen. God gave him Peter. So what was in the car? Where are the Bible scholars? I'm looking for Peter saying him. Come and tell me. Hallelujah. But people will say Simon Peter. So he went. He's going to meet Mrs. Peter. And the missus says that when he came, he said, I quit fishing. You did what? How are we going to eat? How are we going to fend for ourselves? He said, I met a certain man, they call him Jesus. He said, I should abandon fishing and come follow him and be a fisher of men. And you are going? No. That was not a man. As he preached, I could sense it. The whole place was saturated with the presence of God. The aura there was divine. I don't even know. All I found out, I was confessing to him that I am a sinner. Depart from me. And says he's going to purify me. He said, come follow me. I'm afraid. I said, but I'm compelled. So he abandoned everything. Now he sees Jesus rising from the dead. Saw him die. He saw him proofs. Jesus came, gave them proofs. There's life after death. There is life after death. It has not been a futile mission following me. And it will not be for us. If you are born again and you are genuinely, sincerely born again, like you will know. It will not be a futile walk with God. It will not happen. How do you know? How do you get to know? Just following him. He says, go to church. You go to church. Read your Bible. You read it. And these truths will be distilled in your soul. And they'll fasten themselves. You will just know. You will just know. And you won't just walk around and live your life just anyhow. No. And if the qualification for chapter number 2, to live in eternity, remember what we say, there are one life to live, 2 chapters. Chapter 1 year, a very short one. A very short one, at most 100 years. 120. I say that. After 40, everything is going down. And what's your quality of life going to be? And you still want to live 140, 150, what will you be doing here on earth? They'll always carry you in a wheelchair. They'll push you in a wheelchair. They'll put pampers on you. You will be in the pampers. And you have nothing to do. Every day somebody, you rely on someone to come and change you. And then you, that life, what kind of life is that? But the Gospels tells us that no, there's another chapter 2 that would open up when we exit. But it's not going to be for everybody. There will be judgment. Hallelujah. And to only those who are qualified. Why do you qualify the life now? That's what qualifies us for the next life. So so is that all? You have to live for God. So the challenge and the call to live a holy life It's unavoidable. Hallelujah. You can't negotiate it away. If you are, and the Holy Spirit, like I said, genuinely born again, you'll be sealed by the Holy Spirit of God. And I keep on saying it, and it is very, very important. It is a very tumultuous event. You will know your soul has been invaded by a spirit being. A spirit being. If you like, you now know you are a two person. You are a two person. You know it. God will let convey these truths to you. You know that the old you is there and the new you has come. It's a spirit. And you hear voices. I'm not talking about all. You hear that Holy Spirit in you talking to you. Unlike the other one that he was doing, he said, you lived and then you hear it. He said, I said, Bibia be see me so, Bibia be see me so now. Oba to me, waha. And Oba, you saw him and then you start screaming, wouldn't you? And then when you handed over your life, something much more sobering. Ma se te kata kabaya. Something peaceful. Salemo tata tahaya. Something holy. Holy appetites. They say they may jai. You even say it for long. Now, what is all bubo bodi? Okay, kaka and say, unko kemi in treno. And then you shake your head. They say, hey, are they? They say, oh, qua sovereignty. And initially you say, oh, they jano. Because they are not too sure. So, sorry, ko yeba ko si hindi. So, oje ja. Ebi ana men timi no masaa ko back. Mako akofa madi ena ma discipline home. Hallelujah. Now, when the Holy Spirit comes, you just know that I can do it. I can do it. I can do all things through Christ, who strengthens me. Hallelujah. So that's what I'm saying. It's a change. It's a journey of faith. It begins by laying the right foundations. Hallelujah. God has conquered your heart. God has subdued you. You have made a full surrender. Hallelujah. Then and only then will the Holy Spirit come. And when he comes, he'll make you know that he has come. And he'll bring the holy appetites. And so you know it will subdue you. Amen. The belligerent you will find it is no longer there. But if you are still in church, I said this year, by the end of everybody should be born again. Everybody. So at every opportunity, we are taking the time to explain it. To explain it, what happens to you when you hand over your life to Jesus. And then we are going to embark on this holy, if you like, character formation. A life of holiness. And Peter is telling us, he said, God the Father knew you and chose you long ago. Not by our own wills, but God, grace. God did it for us. And look at that. He said, and his spirit has made you holy. His spirit has made you holy. His spirit will come in and bring the holy appetites. And then you will know that, no, I can't live the way I've been living again. Hallelujah. And he said, as a result, you have obeyed him. Obedience will come. You will just yield. You will just heal if you are still born again and you still have the spirit. Mimple spirit. No. Pause. Hallelujah. You remember what Jesus said? When somebody slaps you, say what? Mapine soon. Mepine. Hallelujah. The born again experience. And as a result, you have obeyed and have been cleansed by the blood of Jesus. When the Holy Spirit comes, one of the things that follow up to the truly, genuine, sincerely born again, you feel fresh. You feel cleansed. Hallelujah. I'm not talking about temptation. Once upon a time, when temptations come and all that flood of evil and all those things come, they just come and paralyze you. And you find out that, me dear, me kwa sorry dear, nan so. The day you don't say, oh, they're training me, sorry, Abba. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. But now, no. As a result, you have obeyed him. You obey. You allow the Spirit of God to lead you. Amen. Hallelujah. And so you find yourself that you have been cleansed by the blood of Jesus. And he said, may God give you more and more grace and peace. More grace and grace to live the life. Hallelujah. Peace of mind. Peace. Peace. Just peace. You just know that you have peace with God. Amen. The Holy Spirit will lead you on in your prayer life and in all the other things that we are saying. And you have peace. You have so much peace on your mind that you cannot explain. Hallelujah. Verse 3. Amen. As I said, I'm just reading this. We'll continue the teaching on Wednesday. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by his great mercy that we have been born again. Because God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Now we will live with great expectation. Verse 4. And we have a priceless inheritance. An inheritance that is kept in heaven for you. Pure and undefiled beyond the reach of change and decay. Can Peter here now be talking about heaven? Because he saw Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And all the other teachings that Jesus gave them about heaven, I go to prepare a place for you. It could now all now come into perspective and become a reality in their hearts and something worth living for. Something worth living and dying for. He lived and died for it. Hallelujah. Amen. We have a priceless inheritance. You know that the heaven story, it is not totally. Amen. But there is a price for it. You want the price, you pay the price. And holiness, the call for holy and righteous living, is part of the price to pay for it. Verse 5. And through your faith, God is protecting you by his power until you receive this salvation, which is ready to be revealed on the last day for all to see. Kept by his power. There's that song, isn't it? Kept by the power of God. God will keep you. Amen. Like I said, the Christian life, it is not our strength. The born again life, it is not in our own strength. God will keep you. God will keep you from every power. Every power. Hallelujah. When you are genuine, sincerely born again and you go on your knees and you are binding, harassing demons and spirits, it will work. It will work. Amen. It will work. Witches, occultic powers, and it will work. David said, he said, well, is it Psalm 56? He said, this I know, when I cry out, the Lord will hear me, and then my enemies will flee. This I know, for God is for me. And God is with me. Hallelujah. Amen. So he said, God is protecting you by his power until you receive the salvation, which is ready to be revealed on the last day for all to see. Verse 6. So be truly glad. There is wonderful joy ahead, even though you must endure many trials for a little while. This is what we talked about last month. That is inevitable. By all means, you go through trials. You can't go to heaven trial free. Hallelujah. As a believer, you go through, but God will see you through. Amen. Verse 7, quickly. These trials will show you, will show that your faith is genuine. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold. Though your faith is far more precious than mere gold. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. Remember what we have said? We are heralds of Jesus' second coming. Amen. And we know within us that he will come again. We will live again. We will live again. Verse 8. You love him even though you have never seen him. Though you do not see him now, you trust him. And you rejoice with a glorious, inexpressible joy. The life of the believer, true, sincerely born again, Holy Spirit sealed, filled with the Holy Spirit. These are things that happen that makes you enjoy it. And it will bring power and strength to just obey God. Before you realize you are being changed to a holy man and a holy woman. Amen. It means that all those other profane things, they will be blunted. They will be blunted. Not your own power, But somewhere, somehow, you realize that I don't want to do this thing again. And there's great supplies not to do those things again. Hallelujah. Amen. Verse 9. The reward for trusting him will be the salvation of your souls. It's as if to say that even though we are born again, the real thing is when we will stand before God and be vindicated. Hallelujah. If we are alive today and Jesus should come, like the teachings of the apostles, Apostle Paul says that those of us who are alive will be caught up in the air and go and meet Jesus. And you are in church. Should he come now? Hallelujah. Should he come now? Jesus, come now. This roof, it won't fall on us. No, the roof will open. Hallelujah. Even if it is crumbled, it won't hurt anybody because, hallelujah. Those of us who are genuine, sincere, we have to go and meet him. Amen. And it's all designed by God. It is all the design of God. He says we'll be raptured. You're asking how we'll pass through the roof and go. And you look around and you'll be left behind. Hallelujah. The reward for trusting him will be salvation of your souls. 10. This salvation was something even the prophets wanted to know more about when they prophesied about this gracious salvation preferred for you. 11. They wondered what time or situation the Spirit of Christ within them was talking about when he told them in advance about Christ's suffering and his great glory after 12. They were told that their messages were not for themselves, but for you. And now this good news has been announced to you by those who preached in the power of the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. It is also wonderful that even the angels are eagerly watching these things happen. Amen. So prepare your minds for action and exercise self-control. It's another verse that you should underline in our journey towards being made holy. Hallelujah. The gift, one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit is self-control. Amen. And you have to exercise it and refrain yourself from it. So there's a part that God will do, and he expects us to do a certain part of us, by us. Self-control. He says, don't do it. I won't do it because the Lord says I shouldn't do it. Period. Amen. He said, put all your hope in the gracious salvation that will come to you when Jesus Christ is revealed to the world. 14. So you must live as God's obedient children. Don't slip back into your own ways of living to satisfy your own desires. You didn't know any better then. 15. But now you must be holy in everything you do, just as God who chose you is holy. For the scriptures say you must be holy because I am holy. Remember what Peter has been saying. He's been bringing us gradually. He's talked about the born again. He's talked about the Holy Spirit. He's talked about obedience. He's talked about the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Chief one being what? Self-control. So he's giving us how he became a holy man, what he did, and what you and I must do so we can also become holy men and women. You can't do it on your own. There's a process, a pathway that you must of necessity pass. Hallelujah. Amen. For the scriptures say, you must be holy. It's an injunction upon us, because I am holy. 16. And remember that the Heavenly Father to whom you pray has no favorites. I hope you can mark that one as well. God has no favorites. I used to play the keyboard for him, and so I was living anyhow. And then you come and stand before him. No, God has no favorites. Hallelujah. He said he will judge or reward you according to what you do. So you must live in reverent fear of him during your time here as temporary residents. Very clear. Very clear language. 18. For you know that God paid a ransom to save you from the empty life. To save you from the empty life you inherited from your ancestors, from where we have come from. We were educated at home. Through teaching, through examples, we saw the way people, when we go to the workplace, it's further indoctrination. In school, secondary school, we learn some. In JHS, we learn some. In primary school, we learn some. In the university, we learn more. When we join the political club, we learn some. They all told us, you must be wise. He says, no. You inherited from your ancestors, and it was not paid with mere gold or silver, which lose their value. Talking about the born again experience. 19. It was the precious blood of Jesus Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. That is how we got born again. A high price upon us. And he says that be careful. God has no favorites. Don't joke with God. Don't mock God. He said God chose him as your ransom long before the world began. But now in these last days, he has been revealed for your sake. 21, the last verse. Through Christ, you have come to trust in God. And you have placed your faith and hope in God because he raised Christ from the dead and gave him great glory. The resurrection, the rising of Christ from the dead is pivotal because then it validates everything that we are doing in church. Like Paul would say, if only in this life we have become Christians, say then we are most to be pitied. Hallelujah. Because there is a chapter number 2 to live. One life, 2 chapters. 1 year on earth, short one. The longer one for eternity in the life hereafter. What we do here now, what we do here now is what will qualify us for chapter number 2 of our lives. Whether we live it in the presence of God or out of his presence in eternal hellfire. Remember, he said the hellfire was not created for man, but for the devil, Satan, Lucifer, and his court. No man, God so loved the world that, hallelujah, he gave his only begotten son. Whosoever believes should not perish, but have everlasting life. Hallelujah. And he said, through this Jesus Christ, you have come to trust in God. And you have placed your faith and hope in God because he raised Christ from the dead. That is the validation that there is life. There is another life. The people, the disciples, Peter and the people, they doubted. They doubted. They said, no. Mary Magdalene said, it is impossible. Nobody has risen from the dead. Even the Lazarus that he raised, he died again. All the people that Jesus raised, they all died again. But Jesus, they saw him. And for them, it was conclusive, truth that there is another life. And Jesus was very clear how you can qualify for that life. And all the other things that the gospel teaches, it came into sharp focus when they saw Jesus. In that case, if there is life, number 2 or chapter 2, then we need to be careful. Then I need to watch my life the way I live. And they gave themselves. They committed themselves to the process of sanctification and being declared holy. Being seen as holy. Smelling of God. And this is the Peter. Secular history says that when they were about to crucify him, say, this short life, you are going to crucify me. I'm not afraid. Because there's a longer chapter number 2 to be lived. And he says that, hold on, before you do what you want to do to me, hold on. My Lord Jesus Christ was hanged on the cross like that. And that was painful. That was excruciatingly painful. I don't deserve to die and be crucified like that. So the Bible says that he asked for an X-shaped cross. X-shaped. He said, you can do whatever. Let me go through. I need to go through more pain. Because when I die, chapter number 2 beckons. And I've lived sufficiently enough to qualify for that. Talk to God. Establish in holiness. We can do it. We can do it. Not in our strength. We can do it. God will help us. God demands. He will help us.
This broadcast was proudly sponsored by the friends and partners of Harvest Chapel International Kumasi. Thank you for listening to Local Shrema Hour with Reverend Dr. Joseph Baobi. We believe that as you act on this word, God's power will transform your life. Join or visit us for our in-person family service at Harvest Chapel International Dinyami Kumasi, close to Micklin Hotel and on the Sunset Road, this and every Sunday at 7 a.m. for our tea service, 8:30 a.m. for our Bible study and 9 a.m. for our English service. You can also join us this and every Wednesday for our amazing midweek teaching service at 6 p.m. and on Fridays for our prayer solution service also at 6 p.m.